Welcome back. In this lesson, we're building a tape test style riser in Ableton Live 12 for old school jungle and rag inflected drum and bass. And just to be clear, we're not making some generic shiny EDM whoosh here. We want something grainy, dusty, a little warped, like tape stretch, vinyl dust, dub effects, and a bit of jungle attitude all getting pulled toward the drop. That matters a lot in DNB, because this genre lives and dies on energy control. A good riser doesn't just tell the listener that something is coming. It helps the whole arrangement lean forward. It gives the breakbeat more momentum, leaves the subspace clean, and makes the drop feel like it's arriving with purpose. So our goal is to build a riser that feels musical, textural, and slightly unstable. Something that could sit before a drop, before a switch up, or under a breakdown without sounding too modern or too polished. Let's start by setting up a clean track and choosing a source. Create a MIDI track and name it Tape Test Riser. If you're working in a big session, group it with your other transition effects so the project stays tidy. That's a small thing, but in DNB it really helps, because you'll often end up with fills, impacts, reverses, sweeps, and bass edits all happening around the same area. For the source, keep it simple. Ableton gives you a few solid stock options here. Waveitable can work. Operator is especially good for this, and sampler or simpler are great if you want to use a chopped rag of vocal, a bit of vinyl noise, or a break fragment. For this style, operator is a really strong starting point. Use a sine wave on oscillator A, keep the level fairly low, around minus 12 dB or so, and give the envelope a release somewhere in the 300 to 700 millisecond range. Don't overcomplicate the sound at this stage. A clean source gives you more control later, and that control is what makes the riser feel intentional instead of random. Now draw on a MIDI clip that lasts one or two bars. You can hold a single note, or use a simple two-note movement if it fits the harmony of your track. If you want a ragga jungle flavor, try notes that feel rooted in the key, like root to minor third or root to fifth. For example, in a minor, a to C or a to E can work nicely. You do not need a huge melodic phrase. In fact, it often sounds better when the pitch movement is modest and the processing does the heavy lifting. If you want a more classic tension lift, move the pitch up somewhere between 7 and 12 semitones over the length of the riser. If you want something more subtle and more old school, a smaller shift of 3 to 5 semitones can be enough. And here's a good teacher tip. Don't make the rise feel perfectly linear. A straight clean ramp can sound too modern. A slightly uneven curve, a little wobble, or a few short jumps can make it feel more like hardware and tape than a pristine synth automation line. Now let's start giving it character. After the source, build a processing chain with stock Ableton effects. A strong order is Redux first, then Saturator, then Auto Filter, then Frequency Shifter or Phaser Flanger, and optionally Erosion at the end. This is where the tape dust vibe really comes alive. Redux gives us that digital degradation and dusty grain. You don't want full destruction. Keep the bit reduction modest, maybe around 8 to 12 bits, with a light amount of downsampling. The point is to roughen the sound, not turn it into chaos. After that, add saturator. A little drive goes a long way here. Around 2 to 6 dB is usually enough. If needed, use soft clip to keep it controlled. This helps the riser feel thicker and more assertive, especially once the filter starts opening. Then auto filter. This is one of the main motion tools. You can use a low pass or band pass and automate the cutoff upward over time. A resonance setting somewhere around 0.7 to 2.0 can help the sweep feel a bit more vocal and focused. If you want a more unstable, tape-worn motion, add frequency shifter very subtly. Tiny movements here can give the whole riser a slightly seasick, metallic drift. Keep it understated though. We want tension, not an obvious sci-fi effect. Erosion is optional, but very useful if you want a little extra dust on top. Use it lightly. Very light. Think of it like adding worn air, not sandpaper. At this point, the riser should already feel more alive, but now we need to shape the movement like a real transition element. Group the chain into an audio effect rack if you want easier control, and map a few key parameters to macros. Great candidates are filter cutoff, saturator drive, redux mount, reverb wet slash dry, and maybe delay feedback if you're using a separate echo or send. Now automate those macros across the clip. Open the filter gradually from somewhere low, like 200 to 800 Hz, up to something much brighter, maybe 6 to 10 kHz by the end. Increase the drive a little as the riser builds. Bring in more redux late in the phrase for extra dust. Let the reverb or delay creep up in the last quarter so the tail gets smeared and widened right before the drop. The trick here is to use curves, not flat ramps. A curve gives the sense that the energy is accelerating. In jungle and DNB, that extra feeling of urgency matters a lot. Now let's add a second layer. This is where the texture gets really convincing. A lot of the best old-school tension comes from dust layers, not just synths. So create another track and load a vinyl crackle sample, a tape hiss sample, a short break fragment, or even a chopped rag vocal slice in simpler or operator noise. Anything that feels like it belongs to the world of the tune. If you use a break fragment, keep it short. 1/16th to 1/4 note is often enough. Warp it to the groove, and consider placing it just slightly behind the beat if you want that loose, skanky jungle feel. Then high pass it. Pull the low end out with EQ8 so it sits in the mids and highs only. Use auto filter if you want the dust to open upward as the build progresses. Utility can help keep the width under control, so the layer doesn't get too wide or facey. If you want a ragga touch, tuck in a tiny vocal chop, something like a shouted one shot or a short phrase fragment. High pass it hard, feed it into delay, and keep it low in the mix. That gives the riser personality. It stops the effect from feeling like pure atmosphere and makes it feel like part of the tune's identity. Now let's talk dub tools, because in this style delay and reverb are not just wash, they're part of the arrangement language. Use echo and reverb like you would in a dub system. Keep them controlled and intentional. Try echo sync to 1/8 or 1/4 dotted, with feedback around 15-35%. Roll off some low end, and a bit of top inside the delay so the return feels dark and worn. For reverb, a decay around 1.2 to 2.8 seconds is usually enough, depending on tempo and how busy the section is. A short pre-delay, around 10 to 30 milliseconds, keeps the initial hit readable. A good automation move here is to increase the delay feedback only in the last couple of beats. Then open the filter or the send a little bit at the tail. Right before the drop, cut the dry signal so the tail can land in the gap. That creates that classic feeling of space opening up, and that is a very DNB thing. The reason it works so well is because the drums are usually busy and punchy. If you let reverb smear the break too much, everything loses impact. Controlled ambience keeps the energy sharp. Once the riser feels good in MIDI, print it. Create an audio track and resample the riser output. Record a few passes if you can, maybe one slightly dirtier, one brighter, one with more echo, one shorter. Resampling is important, because it lets you commit to a vibe and then edit it like an arrangement tool. After recording, consolidate the best take. Trim the start so it enters cleanly. Fade the end if needed. And if you want, reverse the last quarter bar to get that tape suck feeling before the drop. You can also chop the audio into 2 or 4 segments and nudge one segment slightly late for a more human, skanky groove. That's a really useful DNB trick, because transition elements often work best when they behave a bit like percussion rather than like a standalone effect. Now drop the riser into an actual arrangement. A strong jungle layout might have an 8-bar intro, a 16-bar groove, then a 4-bar breakdown with a ragga vocal chop and your tape dust riser leading back into the drop. You can also use it for a switch-up after a halftime phrase or as a DJ-friendly transition between sections. If you want the drop to hit harder, start the riser in the last 2 bars before the re-entry, thin out the drums a little, and pull the sub out for the final bar. That contrast makes the bass return feel heavier when it comes back. For darker or heavier DNB, keep the riser shorter. 1 bar can be enough if the groove is moving fast. You can also use it as a call and response with a bass stab or a snare fill instead of making it a long cinematic build. And here's the big idea to remember. The riser should support the drums, not compete with them. If it starts masking the break, it's too loud, too bright, or too wide. The drums are in charge. A few common mistakes to watch for. First, don't make it too clean. If it sounds pristine, add more redux, a little more saturation or subtle erosion. Second, keep the low end under control. High pass your noise layers, your returns, and anything that doesn't need to live down there. Third, don't automate every little thing. Usually 2 to 4 strong movements are enough. A good riser should feel deliberate, not over-designed. Fourth, watch the timing on the final swell or reverse tail if you resample it. Even tiny timing differences can affect whether it lands with the drop or feels slightly off. And finally, always check the riser in the full arrangement. Something that sounds huge in solo can be too bright once the res and break come back in. If you want to push it further, try a few variations. Make one version that's cleaner and more restrained, with just a sine source, gentle filter rise and light echo. Make another version dustier, with redux, saturation, and a chopped break or noise layer. Then make a dark aggressive one with subtle frequency shifting, a reverse tail, and a shorter 1-bar shape. That kind of validation is really useful in real projects, because one riser might work better for an intro, while another is better for a drop prep or a switch up. So to wrap it up, the formula is simple. Start with a simple source, build motion through pitch and filter, add tape style grit and texture, keep the low end clean, resample it, and place it where it helps the arrangement breathe. If it feels like tape dust, air, break fragments, and rag attention being pulled toward the drop, you've got it. That's the sound we're after. Now go make a few versions, test them against your drums and bass, and choose the one that hits with the most old-school jungle attitude.